known of God is manifest in them. God has showed it to them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Every man, every boy, every girl who is old enough to understand is old enough to understand something about God, and that makes them without excuse. Skip all the way down, to verse number 25. The Bible says, all these folks who do all these things, he says, who change the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. And I want to park here, and I want to help us today. I want to help us about spiritual warfare, but I want to talk to us about the lie today. About the lie. I want to start here. What does it mean? What does this mean? Pray with me right now. Father, go up and down each aisle, speak to each heart. Lord, I'm not angry, I'm upset. But Lord, I am completely content in my mind that there's a lot of people, that there's a world, there's a country, there's Knox County and Blount County, and there's a lot of folks who believe a lie, and they've made one of their own. And I pray you to help me in these weeks, Lord, that I would just stay very true to the Scripture. And I pray as a result of these messages, as a result of you working in hearts, there'd be a lot of people who would understand, finally, what it means to be set free. So for those who are here today, I pray everyone would leave free. I pray everyone would leave the full understanding and assurance of the gospel of Christ. I pray you'd help me, Lord. May I preach your word with power and anointing. And I pray all this in your son's precious and holy name. And amen. You can be seated. It's an amazing thing to me. Amazing thing to me to think about. I thought yesterday, a couple of times. I thought how fascinating the world we live in. I grew up with rabbit ears on a TV. I actually grew up with a tinfoil on a TV and rabbit ears. And I always remember the first time we got a remote control, because I grew up, my brother and I were the remote controls. Dad wanted the channel changed. We changed the channel. That's how old I am. A kind of idea. I remember ABC, NBC, CBS, and if we turned the TV right, we could get PBS and watch a couple of things on there. And watch a Doctor Who about 11:30 on Saturday night. Didn't understand it, but anyway, and those kind of things. I remember at some point in our teen years, we got cable. Got cable, and that was the whole world. I didn't know what was going on. And we could watch what was news in Chicago. I don't know why we cared, but it was nice that we could do that. And we would watch, and then there was this little Atlanta station, CNN, that all of a sudden became an international station. And I remember real time, you could see what was going on in Paris and Germany and those kind of things. It was fascinating. I remember going off to school, and I remember somewhere there in the late 80s, early 90s, as things began to happen. And of course, then 91 was the Iraq War. And I remember that we are the first generation in all of recorded history who watched a war happening in real time. We saw the Scud missiles. How many of you are old enough to remember the Scud missiles? How many of you didn't know what a Scud missile was? And then those reporters coming back to the desk at CNN. And they said, why'd you come back? He said, because they were shooting missiles. I didn't sign up for this kind of thing. And they came back, and I remember, and ever since then, by the way, everybody that's under a certain age in here, you've always seen war in real time. I remember thinking how fascinating that was. I remember all the stuff that was going on in Serbia and Kosovo. And I remember they did a featurette story somewhere in the late 90s. And the war had raged so long, they had figured out there was atrocities, They had discovered the mass graves where they had basically killed people and then bulldozed the graves over them. They had sent swarms of forensic, not only anthropologists, but forensic scientists there to try and help with the remains and identification. And the world was stunned. Time, Newsweek, etc. did all kinds of stories on there. I remember that. I remember being gripped. I remember being sickened by that. But there's a still that I've not gotten away from. I started to put it up here. I just didn't. It's just so disturbing. But a picture of a beautiful black-headed girl, couldn't have been more than 7 or 8. Her siblings or her friends are playing nearby, and they are playing where the military has had action. And they're building little playthings out of spent shells. And they're picking up the jackets of the bullets. And they're trying to string little necklaces. And the photo is there of children in the new normal of Kosovo. And what gripped me was not just the sadness I felt, but it hit me. A 7, 8-year-old little girl and the siblings or her friends have never known anything but warfare. They've never known anything but people shooting, people killing, people covering up bodies. They've never known anything but international peacekeepers coming and going. Never known anything but warlords. Never known anything but people hating each other because they're from this clan or this tribe or this whatever. That's all they've ever known. And the photographer captured there in a black and white setting and just snapped it as they played with the things that were normal to them. Let me help you. I can go you one better net. And that's the people who walk up down the streets and in and out of Target and bounce around Kroger and Ingles, and they go back and forth to home and all around, and they do not realize that they're in a spiritual war for their souls and their family's souls, that there is a God who loves them and sent his son to die for their sins, and that there is a Satan who hates them and who's arrayed his forces and who's perpetrating lies and who is speaking to them about things that are not true and wants to condemn and damn their souls, and everyone is a participator in this spiritual war. There's no one neutral. There's no one who hasn't taken a side, and everything's going on. And I suggest to you this morning that we better be ready. We better understand, and we better figure out what the Bible says to us. So that's what I want us to do. I want to help us with things. I want to give you some ideas at the end, but look back through. Look back in Romans chapter 1. I want to walk you through this and see if I can help you. I want to counteract some things, and I want to help you. I want to help those of you who have friends and family who are so struggling right now. I want to help those of you who have children and you want them to turn out right, or grandchildren. I want to help those of you who just, man, you don't understand what all's going on. I want to give you a handle. This could have been written yesterday. It's so up to date and so current. By the way, how many of you think the Bible just like that, by the way? So up to date, so current. Romans chapter 1, walk with me through these verses here. I'll give you some ideas. He starts in verse 16. That's with the positive. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God to salvation. The hope of the world's not in politicians. Somebody say amen. It isn't in more money. And somebody else say amen. It isn't in lack of money. It and all of us being more simple or getting rid of our stuff. It's not minimalism. It's not being Socratic and the Socratic method. A lot of people like that. It's not having more technology. Thank the Lord. It's not having less technology. The hope of the world is the power of God revealed through the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what people need? People need to know that they're a sinner, and Jesus died for their sins, and Jesus wants to change their hearts if they'll repent of their sins and put their faith and trust in him. That's the hope of the world. We don't act that way. We don't talk that way. But that's the hope of the world. That's what Romans chapter 1, verse 14, verse 15, or 16 says. Then he starts, let me help you. And he starts and he makes an indictment. Makes an indictment. He said, this is how the world works. Look at verse 17. For the wrath of God is revealed from faith to faith. It is written, the just shall live by faith. I'm sorry, verse 18. Revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. God's wrath is constantly revealed against people. Ungodliness means I have a wrong view of who God is. Some of you are taking notes. I'll give you several things to write down here. Ungodliness is a wrong view of God. to God of my own making or God that does not accord with the Scripture. When you say God doesn't care about something, you better be able to put a book, chapter, and verse to that. You say God cares about something, you better be able to put a Bible verse to that. God has said, I am constantly angry at those who do not honor me for who I am. And he says unrighteousness. Somebody says, well, God doesn't care about how I do this, and God doesn't care about who I'm with here, and God doesn't care about what I put in my body and what I do with my body, and all these kinds of things. He doesn't care about what comes out of my mouth. God says to you, I am constantly revealing my wrath against unrighteousness. There are things that are right, and there are things that are wrong. If you believe that, say amen. Amen. Look right here for a second. It doesn't really matter what I think's right and wrong. It really does matter what God says is right and wrong. We say, well, this preacher says that. Well, I'm sorry these preachers aren't faithful to the Scriptures, but it does matter what the Bible says. I need to care about his opinion and not my opinion. Can I get another amen? He says, for the wrath of God, and he says something interesting, who hold the truth and unrighteousness. It's the idea they suppress it. It's the idea they push it down. They don't want it revealed. They lie against it in a few more verses here. It's not that they don't know the truth. They don't want to obey the truth. They don't want to have the truth. Somebody says, well, that person's ignorant. Well, the Bible contradicts that. The Bible says that they are not ignorant. They know it, and they don't like it. They resist it. They reject it. They rebel against it. They do those things. I'll run. Just keep flipping the verse. I'll run the clicker in a second. Anna, thank you. They do these things. They don't want it. They don't want it. Say, so why are God's houses not full? There's a few reasons. I'll give you a good one, though. People know something about the truth, and they don't want any part of it. Amen. They don't want any part of it. You can play baseball and softball on Saturday. Nod your head if you're with me here. You play on Sunday because you don't care anything about it being the Lord's day. So, man, that's just really straight, really strong. No, that's really Bible. They know the truth, and they suppress it. They resist it. They run from it. They don't want it. God says, I am constantly unveiling, displaying my wrath. By the way, there's a couple of types of those. There's going to be an eternal wrath. We call that an awful, terrible place called hell. Something ought to motivate us to help people with the truth, because there's an awful, terrible place that everyone goes who rejects the truth of God. There's temporary wrath. How many of you believe that the way of the transgressor is hard? How many of you believe that you shouldn't look upon the line when it moves, when it stirs itself aright? Because at the last, it stings like a snake and it bites like an adder. It will always end poorly. It always does. How many of you believe Proverbs chapter 3, that the way of the evil woman, when she seduces a young man and pulls him in, that it always ends badly? That adultery and fornication always ends badly. Say, preacher, are you mad? No, I'm not mad. I'm telling you the truth of God, and it never works out. God has set things in order. This is how it's going to be. Nobody ever skates. Nobody ever gets around it. And God's word says this. They don't like it. He says, verse 19, because that which is known of God is manifest in them. It's revealed. Old timers used to call it the conscience. I like that. I don't think it means that much to us anymore. There's something you do and your mind goes, that's bad. Shouldn't do that. You go to bed at night. Now, we do a lot of things to our conscience. We drink to our conscience. We take pills to our conscience. We entertain our conscience. I believe you can dull your conscience. I believe you can just about cut it off. But on your best days, that's not a good idea. That's a good idea. That's God's reflection in you. God has said this. God has said, man, when you look up at the sky and the stars, you go, something bigger than me made those. Frank Turek has produced an excellent book. For those of you who have friends and family, maybe even have questions, you can get it on Amazon, just a few bucks. It says, I don't have enough faith to be an atheist, to believe that everything that is came from everything that wasn't. Wait for that one. That out of nothing came everything. Still with me here? And that something really wonderful and amazing created all that is, except it doesn't exist. And that we've got reason and intellect, and we figured all this out, even though there was no reason and intellect to give us reason and intellect. You still with me so far? And he wrote this book coming out of his own atheism, says, I don't have enough faith to be an atheist. I commend it to you. It's an excellent, funny little book too. He says that, why? Because of Romans chapter number 1, verse 19. Because God has manifested, he's revealed himself to us. He's given us several things about himself, those next verses. He says, you can see what? You can see my eternal power, my Godhead. You know that something greater than us made all that is, and something that greater than me exists. This is the truth we wish to suppress. Let me help you with something. In Cuba, our dear friends down there, they send their kids to government school. They don't have any choice. They get them home. They try and fix what they did to them. First trip's over, they all asked me the same thing. They said, what do your parents do, you know, kids who are indoctrinated? Different levels, you know, whatever, evolution, etc. I said, well, every place is different, every family's different, but a lot of them, you know, they take it seriously. Some don't think it's a big deal at all. He said, that's one of the things we don't understand about Americans. He said, how can you let somebody tell them that God doesn't exist? By the way, statistically, the Cubans have got it a little better off than we do in that sense. The statistics, the larger the church, the higher the statistic. If you get to a church between 500 and 1,000, 82% of young people, when they hit 18, they're gone. 82%. The number goes down a little bit in a smaller church. One of the reasons we teach the Answers in Genesis curriculum back there too in junior church in the kids' time on Wednesday night, because we're doing our very best to tell them that there is a God, and he made the world, and he did exactly what he said he is. Science backs up what the Bible says, and that God is true, and you can believe him, you can trust him. There is an anchor for your soul. There's a foundation for your faith. Part of the lie in suppressing the truth is that you came from nothing and nobody, and you have an answer to no one and nobody. Let me help you. That's not a scientific debate. That's spiritual warfare. Look at me right now. One of the reasons the ark has been built up in Kentucky has been fought so hard and so long is because if you understand that what the Bible says is true and that Noah could have built something that survived a worldwide cataclysm, then you might can believe the rest of Genesis. You believe the rest of Genesis that there is a God and he is who he says he is. He did what he said he would do, and that he is the one that you're going to give an answer to. He says, because that which be known is, because God has showed it unto them. Look at verse 21. Because when they knew God, they glorified him not a God. Neither did what? Neither were thankful. Came vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Let me help you. You want to read the newspaper for the next 100 years of Jesus tarries? You read verse 21. They knew God, they were ungrateful. How many believe we live in a world full of ungratefulness? That's a sign they're losing the spiritual war, by the way. Says they were vain in their imaginations. You just couldn't pay me to have HBO and Cinemax. You just couldn't pay me. If cable was free, I wouldn't have it. I'm just not putting it in my house. I'm not paying for somebody to do what some of the reviews I read about things. By the way, it makes me mad and it breaks my heart. Because they're vain, they're empty, they're wicked in their imaginations. It says their foolish heart was darkened. It's a crying shame to me that all this stuff has to be pre-recorded because so many people can't go 30 seconds without dropping an F-bomb or an S-bomb. It's a crying shame you can't interview an athlete because he didn't know how to talk without stringing profanity together like it's some kind of candy heart necklace. Their foolish heart was darkened. Say, I'm shocked and I'm stunned at all these kind of things. You shouldn't be. Romans chapter 1 says this is part of the spiritual war. When you suppress truth, it darkens your heart. It darkens your heart. Say, I'm stunned by what people do. I'm stunned by these kind of things. This is where they are. It says, and they changed the glory of, verse 22, professing themselves to become wise, they became fools. Became fools. They are foolish and fools. All the way down there. It says verse 24, and I want to be done. Verse 24, God also gave him up. Part of the punishment of God is God says, fine, do what you want. Fine, do what you want. Fine, do what you want. I used to think people had somehow gotten something over on God. Especially when I was younger. I went to Christian school all my life, 13 years. had young people come in, 11th to 12th grade. They'd been drinking on the weekend. They'd come in with a hangover. Lie to their parents, lie to the teachers, brag about it in the locker room. Man, they're just skating. They're skating. God's letting them. They weren't skating at all. They'd gotten so strong and so used to putting their fist at God, God finally said, try life without me. Try life without me. See how it works. See, that's punishment from God. See, the best friend you've got is somebody giving you the Bible. Look right here. The best friend you've got is the Holy Spirit going, you need to get right with Him. You need to get right with Him. He loves you so much. He loves you so much. He died for your sins. He died for all the wrong. That's the best friend you've got. The best friend you've got. Please come to church with me. Please come to church. Please come to Bible study with me. Please come to small group with me. Please come to the Sunday school activity. Please, please do that. That's the best friend you've got. He says, wherefore God gave him over. Notice how it presents itself, by the way. It presents itself in sexual sin. The sexual revolution of the 70s. No, it's the sexual revolution of the first century. Not everyone who struggles with sexual sins does so because they've rejected everything about God. Look right here. But everyone who has rejected what the Bible says to them and the truth God's revealed to them will struggle in these areas. You can mark it down. Whether they're open and accepting, or whether they're presenting, whether they're pushing this. That's why, again, I just as nice as I can be, but those nice ladies and men at University of Tennessee who publish all these articles and things, they don't have a philosophical problem with me. They have a spiritual problem. It's a spiritual warfare idea. Say, you're being mean, you're being mad. No, no, I want you to finish the rest of this here. Look at it. Okay. It says, God gave him up. God gave him up. Why? Why? Again, go back to our theme verse here. Because they did what? Look at verse 25. Who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the Creator more than the created. Let me give you some practical ways they've done this. Practical ways, and I'm done. Number one, here's the progression, always is. They rebel against the truth. They rebel against the truth. I'll run it from here, guys. Thank you. They rebel against the truth. I've had them bouncing all over back there. They rebel against the truth, number one. They know the truth, they rebel against it. We used to call it teenage rebellion. We used to call it high school rebellion or college age rebellion. It's not any of those things. We just kind of see it there. I know lots of housewives that rebel against the truth. I've known lots of middle-aged men rebel against the truth. I know lots of folks in their 60s and 70s rebel against the truth. They know the truth, and they rebel against it. God says you shouldn't lie, they lie. God says you shouldn't steal, they steal. God says this is right, and they said, no, this is wrong. And God says this is wrong, and they said, no, this is right. They know it, and they rebel against it. They're open, they're honest. Somebody leaves here and they go find another gospel preaching church and they like the worship better, they like the preaching better, they like the seats better, fine by me. You leave here and you go sit at home, shake your fists against God, you problem it with me, you problem it with you, your problem's in your heart because you're rebelling against Almighty God. Boy, it's tough. That's tough. No, no, they know the truth. That's what the Scripture says, is they rebel against it. Say, why do you go after people and all? Because in that rebellious stage, their heart's not turned to a rock yet. See, preacher, you pray for the students going back to school and high school and junior high? Yeah. Well, you pray. They have a soft heart. They have a soft heart. All their music, all the entertainment, all the little vignettes from tonight's show and all the cable stations, all the little two-minute YouTube clips, they are all rebel, 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 rebel. Pick up your kids, your grandkids' music sometime. Listen to it. Rebel, 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 rebel. I was, they're playing something. Adele. Am I saying her name? I'm not trying to trick you. Is it Adele? Not Adele. Adele. They're playing some song. My earbuds had died. I was listening to a good book. Now I'm listening to Adele. And I'm sitting there and I'm going, I'm going to rebel against this machine. I'm going next door and getting a hot fudge sundae. And, you know, and they play that, you know, to get y'all worked up. And all it did was make me hungry. People know the truth. They rebel against it. God says A, they say B. There's a second step there. Look at it in the Bible. It says they know the truth, rebel against it. They know the truth and reject it. They reject it. Because when they knew this about God, they did what? They turned, they worshiped the creature more than the creator. They're on their way to verse 25. They're going to change it into a lie. It's crazy. I mentioned the news a minute ago. I mentioned news. ABC, NBC, CBS, they had the same story said a different way. News was news. CNN comes along, they're biased, but still, news is news. This one got this interview, this one got that one. MSNBC, if my thinking's right, comes along. Fox News is somewhere there, then the other stations. You know, last 9 years, you can watch one station, then watch another station, you wonder if you live in the same country. It's crazy. You don't know which one's right. You hope you know which one's right. News not new. There's a word that two words that none of us knew. There's fake truth and fake news. What a crazy country we live in. Why? People know the truth, they reject it. They reject it. My body. No. I can do what I want. No. God doesn't care. No. They rebel against the truth. They reject the truth. And there's a last one. They know the truth and they change it. They know the truth and they change it. Some of the meanest, maddest people I've ever talked to have been people with peace stickers on the back of their car. I haven't figured that one out yet. I talked to a lady who had a Coexist t-shirt and a Coexist on her bumper sticker. And she found out I was a Christ follower. I wasn't real sure I was going to make it out. She was hot to trot. I believe in Mother Earth. You've changed the truth to a lie. I'm not being ugly. I'm really not being ugly. God said that's a problem. Jesus loves everybody, and Jesus would never condemn anybody. Verse 17, the wrath of God is revealed. Let me give you a timeout. The reason a lot of people have a hard time believing that it's really true is because we don't act like it's true. We don't believe that people need to be right with God. We don't believe that God is constantly angry with people who do things that are wrong. We don't believe that God can save anybody. Let me help you here. We don't believe, we believe they're really good people and they kind of sort of deserve salvation, and really bad people, maybe a few of them can kind of get in here. We're very secular in our mindset about things. One of the best things ever happened to some of us is we remember just how awful, sorry, dirty, and rotten we were before Jesus saved us, and now he has changed our life and he can change anybody's life, and that God loves everyone, period. Don't put any commas there. God loves everybody the same. And God's desire is for all men to be saved. That's some truth, too, that we need to quit tweaking and changing, by the way. Amen? We get real excited about missionaries, and we won't walk across the street to invite a neighbor to come and eat a hamburger with us. God help us here. We have rejected some of the truth on our own, by the way. But they know the truth, and they change it. They know the truth, and they change it. I struggle. I struggle sometimes just thinking. People go, well, you know, I'm greater than God. I don't know they'd say that out loud. That's how they live. I'll do what I want. I'll do when I want it. Where I want to. Nah. I'm not greater than God. It's mine, my money, my life. People say, I can do what I want with my body. Look right here. Craziest thing in the world's come into our vocabulary. What a person does in the privacy of their own home is their business. It's just not true. A couple reasons. One, When you rape somebody in the privacy of your home, most of the world still think that's a bad idea. It's wrong. You set up a meth lab in the privacy of your own home, police going to come knocking the door down and going to haul you off to jail. It's not a truism that rings through. What the secularists have said to us, what you do with your body in the privacy of your home is your business. Hear me. I don't think everything ought to be the government's business. Nod your head. But everything you do outside, inside, is God's business. Amen. It's God's business. I can do what I want when I want to. Doesn't matter. Rebel, reject, and change. It's my body. Hey, there's no judgment. There's no judgment. I have a dear friend who's a highway patrolman. My cousin is a highway patrolman. They worked together for 8-10 years before they found out they both knew me. If you get them started, they have great stories. Their favorite stories are somebody who gets out of a car and says, I don't deserve a ticket. So you were doing whatever you were doing. I know, but I'm so-and-so. I gave to the sheriff's election campaign, or I'm on my way to school, or I'm late for a dentist appointment, I think one of them said one time. You can't give me a ticket because I've got to get a filling. And, you know, now I'm 20 minutes late to the dentist because I don't want to be there. I'm just kidding. And they tell these stories, I laugh. He said a guy almost punched himself in the jaw trying to put his seatbelt on. He saw the policeman and kind of did like this, and it kind of caught, you know, because it was hitting his brakes. He was speeding, and it kind of caught, and so he took that buckle and just about knocked himself out. How many of you think that would have made a pretty good video? Anyway, if he'd have been okay. They've got all these stories. They end most of them like this. We hadn't talked in a while. The law is the law for everybody. Say, there is no judgment. Look at me right now. The law is the law for everybody. God said, this is what it is. See, what does this have to do with spiritual warfare, preacher? I'm really glad you asked. Because the battle is for your heart and your mind. And this is where you have to start. God loves you so much that he gave his son. And he's revealed himself to you. And here's what people do with that truth. Rebel against it. Then they reject it. Then they get comfortable enough where they start changing it. Well, God doesn't care about this and God doesn't that, and there is no God. See, that's the war. Some of you are in the rebellion stage. Somebody in the rejection stage. I'm just stupid. It's dumb. Some of you getting pretty close where you like twisting it all around. Change it. I believe you talk about Knoxville and Knox County. I believe there's all kind of people doing this. I believe there's all kind of people under 40 doing this. And there's more people we want to care to admit going, nothing to it. Do what I want, how I want. There's no Bible or God says this or God is love. See, I'm just kind of waiting and seeing. No, no. You've either embraced the gospel or you're rebelling and rejecting or you're getting ready to change it. I'm glad he doesn't stop there. I'm glad the God who lays out the war that's at hand Wait a minute. For all you rebels, look right here, everybody. For all you rejectors and all of you folks that are ready to change it into a lie, look right here. I'm going to send my son. He's going to tell you the truth, and then you're going to murder him. He's going to rise again from the dead. And I'm going to send my spirit. He's going to go, this is right, this is wrong. Listen to that preacher. Listen to the Bible. And I'm going to set up some heartaches and some calamities. I'm going to put some things in your path to say, slow down, stop. Don't do this. This is a dead-end path. And you keep shaking your fist and your heart keeps getting harder. And I'm going to keep trying to warm up your heart. And I'm going to keep doing this. And I want you to understand who that is. And I'm going to give you the Bible so you can know what truth is. And don't do this. Don't do this. Don't do this. Same God who wrote Romans chapter 1 wrote Romans chapter 10. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord should be saved. We live in a spiritual war. The battle's the mind. And it starts here. With the lie. They rebel and they reject till they get to the point where they change it. And they believe what their lie is rather than the truth of God. We need to pray for some people to be broken free from the bondage of their rebellion and the bondage of their rejection and the agony of their lie. Pray with me right now. Our heads are bowed. Our heads are bowed just for a moment. Nobody's looking around, and at our church, we give you a moment to just respond.